now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. Four youths gang up. As long as man remembers, young people form their gangs. So let us go back 1980 years ago to the city of Jerusalem and listen to a gang of four teenagers. James is their entertainer, for he jokes about everything. Isaac, the oldest of the four, is very serious, and John and Philip are in between the light-hearted James and the thoughtful Isaac. The date brings us back to the time when God sent forth his Son to be born of a woman as he became man to save, deliver, and redeem his people Israel. Yes, and us Gentiles too, to save us all from the slavery and wretchedness of our sins. At that time, startling events from heaven and on earth were happening. And while they had no radio to report the news, yet it passed from mouths to ears and on it spread. And since young people always want to hear the latest news, three of our four youths are in very serious consultation, and along comes James. He sings out, "What makes you young folks look so sad? Have you been to the funeral? But we are young. We don't need to think about dying, not now." John answers, "I can't speak for the rest, but I'm really thinking over all I have heard lately. It has really set me to studying." James responds, "Go ahead, tell us the news. Maybe we'll do some studying with you, or laugh at your acting like an old man. What is it?" John again, "You know how we Jews have grown under this Roman yoke? We feel like slaves to Caesar, but we go to the synagogue and the Holy Scriptures are read. We hear about a promised king and deliverer who is coming. If ever we needed one, it's right now, and our elders tell us that he's the Christ, our Savior." Philip enters into it. "I was in the synagogue just last Sabbath, and he read Isaiah the prophet about how our Christ would be born as a child, and yet he is God, and his name is Emmanuel. I asked the synagogue ruler what that meant, and he said Emmanuel means God with man." John talks some more. "I don't go to the same synagogue you attend, but just a few Sabbaths ago, they read from the roll of the scriptures that our Christ would be born in Bethlehem, and he would be our ruler and deliverer. Do you think this could happen in our day?" Now Isaac breaks in on it all. "If you will hold it, I'll tell you the big news. I was near the gates of Jerusalem, and there came some country shepherds. Soon a crowd gathered around them, for they had news to tell. They said they lived in Bethlehem, grazing their flocks on the hills around it, and at night they kept watch over the sheep to guard them from the dogs and wolves. Then one night the heavens all lit up with a great light, and an angel appeared. They were so frightened they fell on the ground. But the angel said, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.' And then there joined him a multitude of heavenly angels, and they all praised God, saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" James questions, "Did just one shepherd tell that?" Isaac replies, "No, there were several of them, and they all told the same thing." James further questions, "What did they do about it? That's what I want to know." Isaac answers, "The angel had told them, 'This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger.' So, as soon as the angels went back into heaven, the shepherds set off for the city of David, which was Bethlehem." James still argues, "But a lot of people live in that city. How could they find the baby?" Isaac tells more, "I told you, the angel said that babe was so poor he would only have swaddling clothes, and he was born in a manger." Philip now gets in a question, "A manger? You mean a cattle's manger? What a place for a baby to be born, and that baby a king. I thought a prince to a kingdom would be born in a palace, not a manger." Isaac rebukes them, "You all get to arguing about mangers and palaces. Why don't you let me tell you more of what the shepherds told?" James agrees, "All right, let's hear. Now no more interruptions." So Isaac continues, "Those shepherds knew who in the city kept cattle. The town innkeeper was one of them. So they tried there first, and sure enough, when they opened the cattle pen, there was a mother bent over her newborn babe that she had laid in a manger. When they left, they told everybody what the angel told them and what they saw in Bethlehem. When they told it in Jerusalem, you should have heard those Jews ask questions, and then they got to arguing, so I left them, for in my mind and heart were so many questions I needed none of theirs. Could it be true? But how could it be false? Angels don't tell lies. Then I thought of not only our nation, we Jews do need a Savior, but I feel I need a Savior myself. Philip becomes definite. When was all this? Isaac recalls, they brought that news to our city just about 10 days ago. Why do you ask? Philip now explains, because my grandfather has a very close friend, an old man like he is, and they get together and talk about our God and the scriptures, but they talk a strange language to me. James, still skeptical, asks, what do you mean? Your grandfather only knows one language? Philip connects it all up. I mean, he says that the Holy Spirit told him this or led him to do that. He is so sure that God speaks to men today just like he did to our father Abraham. Now listen to this. That friend of my grandfather, that very old man Simeon, came to see him. He was so happy he could hardly get out his words. He said that God had told him that before he died he would see the Christ our Savior. My grandfather rejoiced with him. James slurs the aged. That old man Simeon acts so queer, he's already lived beyond his day. If he lives to see the Christ, he'll be another Methuselah. Philip insists, you didn't let me finish. 3 days after that, he visited my grandfather, and his face was so saintly, he looked like he had already been in heaven. He said he had just come from the temple. He had asked the Spirit of God to show him very clearly our deliverer so he would not make a mistake. That morning, the Holy Spirit woke him up early to go at once to the temple. He obeyed, and the Spirit showed him in the crowd a mother carrying her little boy baby and told him, he is the Christ. So he went to that mother and took the babe out of her arms. First, in adoration, he gazed on that child. Then, looking up to heaven, he slowly said, as the people gathered around, blessed be our God, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. When my grandfather heard that, he cried out a word that David used in the Psalms, hallelujah. But I don't know what that means. John enlightens them. That means, praise ye the Lord. Those two happy old men must have been a sight to see. Isaac now confesses. Hold it there. These are great happenings, and right where we live. I am thinking of those words the angel said, unto you, Y-O-U. And doesn't just mean our nation Israel, but it seems to say, unto you, Isaac, is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. My conscience too is stirred like this. You certainly need a Savior. With all the sins on your record, it'll be too bad for you when God will bring you into judgment. And my heart has in it a deep longing. Oh, if I only had peace with my God. Isaac, a Savior, to be your Savior, Christ the Lord. A heavenly voice responds to my deep heart longing. But James objects. That angel said, Christ the Lord. We young folks don't want anyone to lord it over us and tell us what we must do. We're our own bosses to do what we want to do, regardless. John faces the facts. If he is to deliver our nation and be our king, then we must obey him. He cannot be our Savior without being our Lord to whom we submit. Philip now joins up with all the four of them. That makes me think a little. That angel called him Christ the Lord. He is the Lord to angels, and they obey him. Does that obedience to him make them miserable? Angels are so happy, they're always praising God. That's a lot better than being like we are, grumbling, griping, growling, and complaining about everything. Can it be that if Christ ran our lives, we would be happy too? Isaac dismisses them. To do this most important and personal business, we all must agree that this is a very personal matter for us each one to make our own decision. I must go now. Maybe I'll see you all later. Now I have a most important matter to attend to. John guesses right. I know what it is. The angel offered a Savior, Christ the Lord, unto you. And your important business is that you now receive him as your Lord and your Savior and register your decision with God. And your important business we must also face for ourselves and each one make his own decision. I hope when we meet again, we will each one have a story to tell of our own personal experience with Christ the Lord. Then they separate with goodbye for now until. Sometimes we think of how great it would have been to have lived when Jesus was born and when he preached and did miracles. But we live in a time of far greater light. We know how he died for our sins and how he arose out of death and ascended back into heaven. We live when the Holy Spirit is here, and he's given us the Bible to tell us the whole story of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So God has not slighted us, but he has given us the supreme knowledge, and if we act upon it in simple faith, it will be as real to us as if we saw Jesus with our eyes and heard him with our ears. I doubt not that our four young people, or at least three of them, with such serious thoughts would not rest until they saw with their own eyes that babe whose name is Wonderful. And I do hope that you, my neighbors, will be content with nothing less than that you shall have a personal experience with a living Lord Jesus Christ to receive him as your Savior and to surrender to him as your Lord and King. As you entrust yourself to him to give you both peace with God and the very joy of heaven in your heart and life, even as the Bible says, Jesus our Lord was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So may it be.